Where are you? The Whip Around with your hosts, Dave DiOrio.
Don't you stop me!
So to my question, you did.
This is my segment.
I am actually looking at Alton Brown's ambrosia recipe.
Sean Hayes.
That is totally it. That is a slam.
In space!
Words.
I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
And Dr. Phil LaPorta.
No, this guy represents death and you're going to die. Like, that should happen. It's funny you say spewage. It's space toilets.
Oh!
A weekly look at news, current events, and pop culture phenomena. Where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and nothing is censored. So get your it's the Whip Around.
I think we should put a squeaky toy in the chair so everybody knows when I shift during the show.
Welcome to the Whip Around, where all the news is weird and all the hosts are deadly, deadly serious.
Always.
And don't you worry Always. About the weirdness, because we do have it in spades today, even though you might already sense it's a little bit different on the Whip Around today.
Just the two dudes here.
We said, we said, hey,
take the week off. We got this.
Everybody get out. Not so fast, us. And here we are. It is Sean Hayes, your devoted servant, sitting across from...
Dr. Phil LaPorta, your sort of insubordinate servant.
It does work that way.
It kind of does in the show, too.
And there are many things to talk about. Welcome. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening.
We love every one of you.
How are you, Phil?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm all right. School is starting soon
yes.
for Edie, and I am very, very excited. we'll be meeting her teachers and all that, which is always a surreal experience.
Enjoy. I get to meet my new students in a week or so.
I was going
to
say, yeah, it's happening
it's coming,
for
here
you,
it comes.
Too. It's all happening. And for those of you out there who are starting school soon,
good luck.
Stay in school. But
for those of you leaving, graduating, stay in school.
Yeah. For those of you in the private sector, get back to school. We have other whip-around family news, though, Phil.
Oh, yes.
Podadelphia, the sports podcast under our banner, which we have to figure
Dave,
out what our...
Dave, our favorite Anger Donut, and
yeah,
Gene and Chuck.
Are up to, I think the episode number is one, but it's their second episode.
Yep.
But they did their first Panic episode as Philadelphia sports
yes.
fans. Did you get a chance to check it out?
I did not yet, but I know what they're talking about because the Phillies are now three back as of this recording.
Yeah, and they...
don't panic yet.
It's a lot of Phillies talk in the opening, I think like two-thirds of the podcast. They talked Phillies woes, which means they also, and I want everyone to check this out, even if you're not a huge sports fan, there's a lot of funny.
Funny
in this show. Their preferred rage moves when sports upsets you. There were hat throws. Whoa. Violent channel changing, I believe, came up. And somebody on the show apparently loves to flip coffee tables.
Wow.
Leave that riddle hanging out there for you to wonder which one of them is into that. They did talk Eagles.
Well, it's coming up.
This bizarro preseason loss to the Browns has them a little stressed out.
It's preseason, dudes. Come on.
I know, but you remember this? Did you hear about the score? It was 5-0. So there's a whole thing about that. Their question over quarterbacks. There were Rocky analogies. Later, there was some Flyers stuff, injuries and shit. I don't know. And
Puck drops in October. We got time.
There was this really cool. They have a new segment.
Ooh.
As they learn and grow and come into their own.
They're growing into a tiny little podcast.
And one of my favorite nicknames for a podcaster, like if they were on a radio show, this would stick. Okay. It's Gene's Prop Bets. So he tries to get them to commit to something
this.
With Riverboat Gene. Riverboat Gene, which I just think is fantastic for the guy who's asking a lot about, like, who's going to win this? What are you going to bet for that? And I think the question was, who will have more points through September? The Philadelphia Phillies or the Philadelphia Eagles? And then what's the number and the team? So pick, you know, who's going to have more points? What's the number and what's the team?
Gene, I love the idea.
And I'll let you listen and find out.
Yeah, I didn't get to episode 2 yet.
And then, so,
good stuff, though.
And then everybody's favorite segment already is Chuck's penalty box, where they
Heard.
Try to figure out. So here's my submission. Here's my submission. Here's, you know, and then Chuck figures out, you know, what the penalty should be. And this whoever Gabe Kapler is,
Philly's manager.
He gets thrashed fairly.
He's a favorite target.
The episode. But that's what's going on. So check out Podadelphia. Subscribe, listen, let us know over here in the Whip Round what you think. And tell them Sean and Phil sent you.
Yeah. And let us know what you think about us, too. Whoa! Natural segue!
We did not prep that!
Yeah!
Whoa! Ring the bell. Damn you. Wow. I'm done. I'm leaving.
That's it. It doesn't get
and
any...
And then there was one.
Before we fuck this up, we're out. Listen, we're like, man, we're going to do this on our own. This is going to go poorly. That's as good as it could have gone. Doesn't get better.
All right.
So, yeah, we've got a survey, whether you're an occasional listener, whether you're a dedicated listener. We still want to know. It's 10 questions, and you're entered to win a $10 gift $10 Amazon cash card unless we can get whatever many dozen it was. You'll have to watch my addenda from last week. I will personally double them to $20.
And that's three, right?
Three of them.
Three $20 Amazon gift cards.
At that point, you know you've got 5 minutes to click through, and you know that you could do with $10 or $20 to Amazon. And let's be honest, you also know out there in Whip Around Land that there'll be a 1 out of 12 chance, basically, that you are going to get something.
I mean, thus far.
Pretty.
If it
gets to the 20, yeah.
If it goes nuts, maybe we'll even add another card.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But let's stay with the $20 for two.
Let's just take all Phil's money away. Get hundreds of people.
Yeah.
We'll give away 300 gift cards.
But
it's the 10 clicks for 10 bucks.
10 clicks for 10 bucks.
Asterisk.
Yeah,
right now,
asterisk
be 10
right
for
now.
20.
Yeah.
I took the. Did you take one?
I actually didn't do it yet.
I did one to test. It was 5 minutes,
I'll
I think, less.
I'll tip the scales if it gets
there
to that
go.
One
but
person.
But I think it was less than 5 minutes. It was very quick. And it's fun. And Phil wrote the questions.
They're a little funny.
And they're fun. They're more than a little funny. And then...
One last thing before we dive into our normal thing. I know we're long on the open, but that's okay. We got a short show coming up.
Speaking of a little funny, and we're back.
yes.
I did another podcast. Don't anybody worry. I'm not jumping ship, but I guested.
For the second time.
Yeah, on Travis Bickle on the Riviera, an amazing movie podcast. I was on with friend of the podcast, Sean Witzke, and this time
many Seans in the room.
Too many. Although this was really, it was a fantastic time. But we talked about blaxploitation movies, three in particular. We were talking about Pam Grier movies. So we did Coffee and we did Foxy Brown. And then we also did the Switchblade Sisters. So
I just love that title.
Yeah. And so the linking factor was Jack Hill was the writer director. But anyway, we talked about that. All kinds of tangents.
Just hearing that, I'm like, yep, I know nothing about movies.
But it was a really fun time. And a lot of times I listen to them and I don't know, but I end their podcast having learned and laughed and loved and died. And I don't know where I'm going with this. But anyway, it was a really good time. Travis Bickle on the Riviera.
I guess we only get one good segue
exactly.
per show.
I'm pissing it away as I can. But check out Travis Bickle on the Riviera. Rate and subscribe that one, too. Let us know what you thought of that episode and Podadelphia. And what is possibly left to do, Phil?
Science! Still matters, damn it.
That it does.
Yep.
But why?
Why? Can I just start this? I think why.
Who, what, when, where, and science!
Damn right! And I just want to start this by saying, fuck you, hippies!
That'll show them.
Yeah.
Are most of them stockbrokers now, anyway?
Probably.
But yeah.
Well, it's, I say that borderline tug in cheek because I just kind of get tired of diet fads. And it was a letter that came out in Harvard Health Letter this week that coconut oil is nowhere near as good for you as it is always prophesized for the last. I don't know. How long has it been a popular thing?
A while.
Like
a year
at least, two, something like that. But apparently not going to debate the flavor.
Are you supposed to be able to
Fuck
clean
no.
tables with it too? Like,
well, probably.
Shine your silverware with coconut oil.
What do you think I use on my bald head? It smells great. It's 90% saturated fat, higher than butter, higher than beef tallow, higher than lard in terms of saturated fat.
Mm.
So you're not doing yourself any favors in terms of saturated fat. It will definitely raise your bad cholesterol levels. It has been shown in some studies that it can also raise the good cholesterol levels, but overall health can't be predicted by cholesterol alone. All we know is that too much of this stuff is just as bad for you as butter, anything else you're going to cook with.
So I could be just putting beef tallow on my popcorn.
And you'd be getting way less saturated fat than the coconut oil on the popcorn.
So So basically, www.beeftallowpopcorn.com is the way to go with this. Now, so from you to us, yeah. Bill, from the scientist to the non-scientist, would you say this is a situation where there were – not that we're yelling at anybody.
I'm yelling at the hippies.
Well, sure. But I'm saying, like, for our listeners who are like, oh, I didn't know that. Were there any signs with this? Do you think that going forward we should be on the lookout? Like, look, if it sounds too good to be true, it is. Like,
that's
just think about that.
That's
like,
one of the things that always comes to my mind. And one of the other things that it kicked into my mind was I remember if you were when we were kids, if you remember the whole egg problem that was going on, which is eggs
whole
are bad
eggs.
For
– wow, you must have been rich.
Eggs are bad for you. Eggs are good for you. Only eat brown egg. You remember that though, right?
Yeah, not the only brown eggs one.
Well, but like there was this like big confusion, and then eventually it culminated in the pitch for the incredible edible egg.
Yeah, and then this is your brain on drugs.
Well, that was a whole separate.
Eggs
were drugs.
Kids were smoking eggs. Remember that?
I remember when kids were smoking
eggs. Why am I the only one who has that dream?
I can't imagine one. Dude, you know how you can make a bong out of an egg?
Huevos, holy shitos. But dare we transition anywhere near that?
I'm not going to. But it came to mind. I mean, yeah, the warning for the readers is always like, you've got to look at these things. And I guarantee you, everything that has been marketed as a superfood for the last, let's say, 5 years, I guarantee you have at least dodgy health benefits. I look this up.
Don't you take avocados from me. Although I would like to try beef tallow toast.
I mean,
www.beeftallowtoast.com.
And then put your avocados on?
No, apparently they're bad because they're superfood. Don't anybody get it twisted. I'm joking around. Avocados are amazing. Listen, and so are you.
Dear listener. So I actually ended up finding another Harvard letter. Somebody looked this up. And superfood, the term, goes back to World War I in an attempt to promote, guess what?
Agent Orange on a stick.
That's what they're selling at the fair across the street from my house this week.
In order to promote a World
bananas.
War
I
time, but oh, that yeah. makes sense. That was around the time of the rise of the Banana Republic, right? It was the huge influx of bananas.
I'm just going to go yeah on that one.
I think it was.
It might have been, but it was they had a huge influx of bananas.
Yeah,
so
why do you think that is? From that place where the guy went over.
Bananas don't just grow in the Banana Republic.
That it's called a Banana Republic because of what that guy did when he like took over. It was one of the big fruit names.
I'm a scientist, not a historian.
I'm just saying.
But incidentally, and it's been shown, when you call something a superfood, it generates really big sales.
Mm.
So calling kale a superfood, it's the acai berries, whatever the fuck they were.
I think it's supposed to be acai, but that's too hard.
Kale, avocado, all those things. Whenever you say, hey, these are amazing.
Sales go up.
Absolutely. So look at who's saying this is a superfood. I mean, that's always been my thing is take the 10 minutes to see who did the study because most of these... If you go through this, you know, there's the scientific study is ambivalent or definitely no benefit.
Okay, man.
But I mean, the bottom line is eat healthy, eat right, don't eat a lot of junk food, exercise, and you'll be healthy and you don't need to fall for, you know, superfoods or anything like that. And I didn't even get into the one that pisses me off the most.
Well, there's always another episode. And yeah. I guess we've all learned something here.
So, yeah, you know, on this coconut oil.
Yeah.
Moderation, just like anything else. Good flavor, but don't fall for it, folks.
It's all about the beef tallow on this edition of...
Science! Still mad as demit?
You talk like you have had a lot of superfoods in your life, buddy.
And they are all making me constipated.
And that, my friends, is definitely a segue. We're going to work on that problem while you go and work on any of yours. We'll be right back with quite an interesting examination of cures gone wrong. Be right back.
Hey, everybody. This is Dave. Do us a solid and go to iTunes and rate The Whip Around with 5 stars. All 5. Don't forget any of them. 1, 2, 3, 4. And the 5th one is the most important. So please go to iTunes and rate the Whip Around podcast. It'll really help us out. Bye.
Well, folks, this here's the ballad of Dina Knapp. Dina's a regular folk, like you and me. Can there be a folk instead of folks? Whatever.
A regular folk?
She's a regular folk.
She's only one.
She's an Iowa woman, a workaday sort, with all the sorts of trials and tribulations one comes to expect from a middle-class American life in the middle of the country, midway through middle age.
Lots of middles.
Middle, 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 middle.
Right down the middle.
You wouldn't think this makes for a lot of thrills, and I suppose it wouldn't, but for Miss Knapp's adrenal glands, the very seat of so many of life's thrilling bursts. But thrill they did, and not for the best of reasons, 2 years ago, when a mass of tissue growing along one of those glands, hope I'm not arousing you, landed Dina upon an operating table at the Surgical Institute in Sioux Falls, North Dakota. Dr. Scott Baker was the surgeon that day in October, and things seemed to go fine with the adrenal remover, which is a fun thing to say, adrenal removal, until the good doctor called a few days later to inform Miss Knapp that he, quote, did not get everything out of there, and she'd need to go back under the knife, which she did, this time over at the Mayo Clinic, different location, different surgical team, which I understand why one might want to go with a pinch cutter. And you know what? Baker was right. He didn't get everything, but not for lack of trying. You see, Doc Baker, for his own mysterious reasons, call it neglect, call it rank stupidity, call it being a real Dr. Weisenheimer MD, he removed her perfectly healthy right kidney and left the adrenal gland and its worrisome mass right where they were.
Oh, that right kidney.
So.
You mean right from the other side.
So if this were a game of Operation, he voided the fuck out of the warranty. And then it turned into a real case of he said, she said, he removed the wrong goddamn organ, let's call the whole thing off. Knapp, of course, is suing. And saying that, you know, she's lost huge swaths of time from work, has a lot of pain issues, has a confused and increasingly taxed left kidney.
I couldn't imagine why.
Some sources are saying, some do, some don't about this story, but some sources are saying that she's claiming to have a progressive disease, like overtaking the kidney. I don't know if, but hey, it's definitely out there, and I definitely am not. So, yeah, this whole thing is really stressful for her lonely pool-shaped remaining kidney, and she says she's lost, quote, nearly $100,000 to new medical costs, and her, again, quoting here, lost earnings have amounted to about $42,000. So loss of job income and having to shell out for medical costs, so she's suing. On the certainly fuming behind-the-scenes doctor side of things, we have this statement from Mark Hadding, executive director of the Surgical Institute of South Dakota.
And that was the one that did the bad surgery.
Yeah, I don't know if I mixed my Dakotas up. I'm pretty sure I got it right, but they are apparently the group who's now on the hook for this. She's suing the guy, Baker. Well,
yeah, probably.
And this group. But he said, Mark Hadding here said, quote, nothing is more important than the safety of those in our care and the integrity of our operations. We are aware of the complaint and are in the process of reviewing. Which, you know, who knows? Maybe poetic justice.
Just check her. She's missing a fucking kidney on the wrong side.
Well, I'm kind of hoping what they'll do is say, all right, write her a check for $100,000. But what they'll do is fuck that up, you know, mess it up again and send her a check for like $2 million, sending her the wrong check and being wrong for the right reasons this time.
And no takesies backsies.
That's right. No kidneys, no backsies. But the fact remains indisputably, episode title.
There it is.
Woman goes in for surgery. Surgeon oopsies out the wrong shit and fucks her up. Now she's stuck. And this thing is kind of fucking terrifying. Maybe, too, if you look at these articles, you can kind of feel the vibe here. Maybe because of the level of meh that seems to be lurking behind the scenes. Like, shit happens medically. But Phil, buddy, and everybody out there, but more immediately.
Because I'm the one that can respond.
Medical dope. And a patient demanding dough. Are you team meh? Or are you a member of Are You Fucking Kidney Me? Pay her. React for me.
That was a good stretch, though. You might have beat the throw by a little. That was good.
That is a pat on the back good. That you can't see up.
I'm team Are You Fucking Kidding Me?
Okay.
Kidneying me. Sorry. And actually, as Caroline had pointed out to me, she goes,
kidney.
She said, you know, I've heard stories of people when they want to go in for any procedure they have to be put under, actually writing on their body in Sharpie, this knee is the one that hurts, to prevent that shit from happening on their own.
Andy Warhol was a medical malpractice fatality.
Oh, I did not know this.
He I forget what the thing was, but he filled up with fluid and died while he was laying there.
That's after called drowning.
After the I don't know what the surgeon was thinking. He put him in the pool and just left him there. What do you call that? No, but like it was something, you know, they fucked something up and didn't catch it and didn't pay attention.
There was a really good magician by the name of Tom Mullica who went in for simple back
surgery. The past tense is already telling
Yeah, it was simple back surgery. This was like 2 years ago and he is no longer with us.
So your general reaction.
My of course, is definitely team, what do you call it? Team patient.
But you care. I mean, you're saying like this is not something to gloss over.
No. Listen, mistakes happen. But I'd like to think that you should double check which right you're talking about. Because this isn't just enter from stage left.
Kidney left or my left? Yeah.
I guess that's not the way it's supposed to go.
Yeah. I had a
you got to be on team patient, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but
we can't be friends if you're not.
It's not even team patient, though. I mean, it is. It's team anti-professional who fucks up. No one is saying he did the right thing, but there's just this sort of acceptance that, yeah, that sometimes that goes on. You'll have this. You know, there's malpractice. This is fucking up big time. This is, to me, it's not that it's not exact, but it made me think of, like, what if the Enola Gay was over there above Hiroshima and just dropped hamburger patties. The good news is we hit the target.
You did not score with that analogy.
I believe I said this before.
The bad news
is they can't all be winners. You wouldn't be able to tell who the losers are. But that was my reaction. Like it's a big, of course.
Well,
of course.
We're not going to win the war,
but
they're all very loaded down with carbs.
But, you know,
sluggish fighters.
Sir, they still don't know what hit them. And I made quite a savings on the atomic bomb. So, all right, Phil, as we move along with this, where did this story send your mind?
I actually went to medical waste, not in the toxic sense, but in the expenditure sense.
By poopy or?
No, in the
medical gross?
Well, the
or you could do this more efficiently.
Yeah, because the first thing I thought after I read that was, Jesus, I was like, yeah, not only do you now have to cover that surgery if you're an ethical person and say, oops, I'm sorry, we have to do that again and we have to take care of you because it's the right fucking thing to do.
Oops, I crapped your life.
Oops, I de-kidneyed you.
Yes.
All the waste that goes in, and I'm like, you know what? I know that there has to be a stat on just how much different things the medical establishment in the country wastes.
And oh, sure. That's a good thought, too.
And I was like, because now you got to pay for this, and now you got to do that, and you get all this. And it's like, if you'd have just checked left or right one more time.
Hold your fingers up, and which one's the which L?
Remember, the left hand is the one with the thumb on the right side.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
Yeah, that makes it sound a lot easier.
It helps, I know. Thanks, Fred.
Especially since you're a magician. Can you make your thumb come right off? So it could be anywhere.
My left thumb comes right off?
Well, you can do the little thing, right? The little tricky.
What are you doing across the table, Sean?
My left thumb is now on my right hand.
Got your nose, too.
Yeah. Which I'm not even a licensed surgeon, so I could be.
You should put that back before I sue you for malpractice.
Oh, shit. That's my kidney. I'm sorry.
You earned that.
I'm sorry.
No, but I looked, and I found a report through the PMC from NCBI, which is part of the NIH.
Obviously.
I just wanted to do all
this. Obviously. So you said the
PubMed
community pool for the
NCBI.
Advancement of imbecilic surgical doofuses. What is it?
PubMed Central, which publishes stuff from the National Center for Biotechnology Information. Which
scholarly
is
stuff.
Uh-huh, which is a part of the National Institutes of Health. I feel like we've brought them up at some point.
Yeah, I mean, and PubMed, for anyone out, any students out there, I'm sure they've come across articles.
Sure.
Heavy stuff. Real stuff.
It's real stuff. But, you know, I would say this. I know that I always say this, but for our listeners out there, like, no way, I can never read those articles. Phil's got a PhD or Sean's got his master's. No, read the abstract.
Yeah.
Just read the
and
nothing
the conclusion.
Else, do the abstract
zoom
and
to the conclusion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't do that if you're writing a paper, you piece of shit.
But like if you want to get the gist of these things and those papers, yeah, don't be afraid to just do that. That's putting in some more effort than most people do. But apparently they
just about everyone.
Just about everybody.
Just about everybody.
Yeah, I'd like to think better of our listeners.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Our listeners are
ahead of everybody.
Oh, yeah. Apparently physicians they polled said that 20% of all medical care they gave was unnecessary, including prescriptions, tests, procedures.
What's the percentage?
20%. I'm rounding for ease of discussion.
Well, I'm not questioning your reading. Phil, I read it was 19.784%.
Put your glasses back on, Poindexter, before I give you a wedgie or whatever. bullies do nowadays. They're probably very tech savvy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's just cyberbullying you to kill yourself.
They delete their shit. Oh, yeah. Wow, that got... but they reported...
Which is what I heard.
That they had... They reported that they self-reported they do all these extra things. And when they asked why, fear of malpractice. 85% reported that fear of malpractice was their number one reason why
to
they
do
won.
An extra step or more.
To do an extra step or more that does not have to be done.
Sort of like a let's do another blood test or another x-ray kind of
thing.
Any
number of things. They asked about everything. And when they were talking about unnecessary, they meant prescribing, procedures, extra tests, you name it. They said 20% of what we do, we could probably not do.
I'm probably washing my hands 20% too long.
Except I don't need to check left or right on this kidney. I know what
right. Come on. I don't want to get sued for malpractice. Let's keep these things moving along.
Yeah. Patient pressure was another one that was highly reported. And this one pisses
patient
me.
Patient pressure.
Yeah. A patient.
I thought you were cool like us, Doc. Why don't you take out both my kidneys? Or are you not one of us?
One of us. One of us. One of us.
Sometimes I don't know how to respond to these things.
Patient pressure.
Doc, are you sure? You know, this really feels like that. Go poke this.
Yeah, you loser. Poke this.
This one pissed me off. Difficulty accessing medical records.
Difficult. So they kind of have to wait.
We have to do this again because we can't find that thing.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
In this day and age when we have computers, you think that like, oh, just send me the thing so I can make sure that this is... No, and that's a problem for a lot of doctors, apparently. Take a guess, by the way, how much excess spending this is.
Oh, that's hard.
Yearly.
There are like billions
yearly.
And billions of dollars in this
industry,
you know.
Give me a number.
So, okay, so what I'm guessing now is a basic guess as to how much money is pissed away on
yes,
this.
That's what I'm
per
asking.
Per year.
Per year.
$100 million.
More.
$200 million.
Way up.
$600 million.
$210 billion
wow.
in excess.
Billion with an I?
With an I, two L's, and a B in the front of it.
Two I's, two L's, there's a fucking O in there?
Yeah.
$1 billion.
$210 billion.
Every year just out the window on something
excess
that's like
medical
really
spending
didn't need
that we could have done. So, yeah, we didn't need it.
Do you have any idea how many fighter jets we could buy with that money?
Three.
How many golf courses we could fill with golden items?
Yeah, and that's where my brain went. I was like, oh my God, I was like...
Do you know how many space cops we could get?
This is why we can't have a space force, people.
Yeah.
Because we're spending all this money. But it's just one of those things. And again, I think about that article and that's why I was like, this simple thing. And now you have to spend all of this extra money to somehow mitigate or hopefully for this poor lady fix the problem. And that's where I went with it was excess spending. $210
billion.
Whoa. Yeah. Where did you go with this? Did you go someplace less expensive?
No, I mean, all I was doing, because I chased this down, was researching it, and then got sort of swallowed into something else that you asked me to do. So that's I didn't really go anywhere too exotic with this, except being eager for what comes next.
I mean, yeah. Well, let's do something that didn't cost us $210 billion, shall we?
Yes!
I mean,
yes,
this,
a cool $209 billion of fun.
That's right. We here at the Whip Around saved you $1 billion by producing this next game on a budget. Let's play Real or Bullshit.
Woo! Real or Bullshit, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the best name we could come up with because, once again, we were on a budget.
That's right.
Yeah.
We had these other ideas. We're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Why do you think
that is 20% too much flash and panache?
Why do you think we only have one good segue this show?
That's right. And only one good host.
We spent that rest of that money on hookers and blackjack.
So anyway, yeah, Phil, the basic idea here is we've got a little back and forth prepared for everybody,
yes.
Correct?
Prepared for everybody. We're going to ask each other questions. I looked up old ridiculous medical cures.
I looked up not so old, but some outlandish medical mistakes.
I also made up several.
And I made up several as well. I don't, should we tell each other how many are bullshit
no,
and how many are true?
I don't think so.
Okay. And then what we'll do is what bandy back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And the person on the spot has to hear it and say whether it is
real or bullshit.
Real or bullshit.
Okay. I got my S and P.
Yeah, I better do that too. I don't trust you.
Yeah, I don't trust. Well, listen, I don't want to make a $210 billion kidney mistake.
Meh.
I got my score sheet ready.
Should it be 210 billion points per correct guess.
I feel like the total number of points in this game should add up to 210 billion.
All right. Well, I'm no mathematician. So
neither am I.
I won't even come
close. I'm not going to try. I'm just going to.
210 billion rupees from the collapsed kingdom of Hyrule.
Oh, no.
Did you not hear?
The fucking Zoras bankrupted everybody.
That's right.
They got that fancy kingdom with all those waterfalls. Come on.
Yeah, get a life.
There are two listeners out there going, oh, man, he's such a nerd.
I almost totally get what we're doing. I'm almost there. I think I... Okay, so who's going first?
You got a coin? Let's flip a coin.
I have a guitar pick.
Yeah, flip the guitar pick.
All right, so Fender Medium, you go first.
Uh-huh.
Green tortoise shell beauty. I go first.
Thanks to the...
This is the Rogue Diplomats left a pick here or donated it to the show, whichever way you want to think about it. Yeah. We'd love to have them back sometime soon, but in the meantime,
here we go.
And it is Green Beauty, so that's me, the Green Beauty going first.
Okay.
Does that mean you're asking me first? Let's flip to
you,
see
you get to call
what I mean
You get to
that.
Decide.
I want you to quiz me first.
All right. Okay. Some of these I have a little more detail than others because it depends on what I could find / credibly come up with that I thought sounded good.
Mm-hmm.
So there are varying degrees of detail on some of these.
Okay.
I'm going to say that up front. All right. Ready? Number one.
Go.
Metcalf's Coca Wine, made from fresh coca leaves. It's a nerve tonic, remedy for sleepiness, nervousness, sleepiness from nervous exhaustion, general debility, and weakness after a long illness. Real or bullshit?
So coca leaf solution of some kind as a pick-me-up. Oh, I'm saying that's real. Yeah.
That is from 1888, ladies
Billions
and gentlemen.
Of points.
Oh, yes.
1888. Cocaine pick-me-up.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, all of the ones that I found, actually, I found a lovely little website that actually has pictures of all the advertisements from the ones
that are
real.
Oh, I need that. I want that.
Oh,
I'm really into
that stuff.
You're
going to want to go to see that.
I already have
it.
I have one or two.
I know.
A vintage... medicinal
yep.
poster. I'm really into that stuff.
So yeah, you're going to want to see this website. You are too out there.
Okay.
All right, Sean, your turn.
Yeah,
throw
here we go.
Me,
same setup as Phil's. It's
All
just
right.
that mine are going to be about medical mistakes or just bad things that happened in the medical
oh,
field.
Dear.
So Phil, it's real or bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
James Schultz, 23-year-old male from Rochester, New York, having lost both hands and an eye in a car accident, qualified for and finally received his first hand transplant weeks after the crash and was inadvertently given a left hand on his right arm. Surgeons noticed the error partway into the surgery when reversing course would have risked his entire arm and his life due to the chance for shock and additional anesthesia. Lawsuits aplenty followed. Left hand, right arm.
This is way harder for me because I know you are such a good fucking writer, but that sounds real. I'm going to say real.
That is totally false.
Oh, you bastard.
It did not happen. I got you.
Should we give you a point for that?
Yeah, give me a couple billion points for that.
Okay, so
you know how I do in these games, though. This is not going to end.
If you fool the guy, or if you
get
fool
yours
the guy,
right, or fool the other,
got
yeah,
it.
You
okay.
get several billion points.
All right.
So now Phil's turn.
I'm not going to ring the bell. By the way, I'll let you edit in the.
Thanks, buddy.
Or do you want me to ring the bell?
Let's do both.
Wow.
Ding.
This is why the show costs $209
billion. That's right. This is also what happens when neither Jill nor Dave are here to be like, "Would you hurry up,
you idiots?" Okay, Dr. Jacob's cure-all. Made from poppy flowers, remedy for irritability, sleeplessness, general restlessness, and bad humors. Dr. Jacob's cure-all.
I'm going to say also true.
No!
Oh, Dr. Jacob.
Making that one up.
That was good. Well written, lying sack of shit.
Every now and then I'll write something that sounds okay.
Okay, so my turn here to give you one. Benjamin Houghton, 47-year-old Air Force veteran, had shrinkage and pain from his left testicle and so was told it was best to remove it. But oops, consent form errors and mistakes in labeling things in pre-op led to the wrong testicle being removed. Long story snipped short, Houghton sued for $200,000, proving that he still got stones, even if his huevos are all fucked up.
Once again, you're a fantastic writer, but that one, I can see. You said World War II, you said?
No, this is recent. This was just a couple years ago.
Well, I don't know why I heard World War II there.
I don't know. 47-year-old Air Force 40, veteran.
For some reason, I did 1947. Okay. No.
The Greatest Generation never had shrinkage.
I'm going to say real.
That is real. Hey. Absolutely real. Many articles listed as the $200,000 testicle. Due to his totally understandable lawsuit. To be honest, he's being pretty nice.
I was going to say, that's all he got.
For a guy who had his wrong ball cut off, he's really nice.
I love the way you wrong ball caught.
Wrong ball cut off.
Oh,
nice. Right. Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Pinto's Pep Pills, also made from coca leaves. Remedy for lethargy, anxiety, and muscular atrophy.
True.
No! Oh. Making that one up.
You're just so believable.
I am getting better at lying.
You are.
It's a skill.
It's not nice. It's a skill. You have billions more points than me.
I know, but that's okay. Like, half a kidney later, you can catch up.
There you go. Okay. Here we go. Heart surgery on the wrong patient.
Oh,
we have a 67-year-old woman whose name is withheld due to court issues. Went into surgery for a required cerebral angiography, which is when they scan the blood vessels in and around your brain, and ended up rather inexplicably sent down the next day for an invasive cardiac electrophysiology study. And though she was slated for discharge the day after that mistake, she was instead mistakenly sent down for open heart surgery the following day. The errors were caught mid open heart surgery. Incision in her groin was done. The wire had been tracked into her heart before course was carefully reversed.
Put it back. Slowly put it back. Put it down. Put it down.
That's what they had to do. Put it down. Slowly and carefully reverse course.
Jesus Christ. That's got too many big words. That's got too many technical terms. I know you're a good writer, but I feel like there's no way you're making up all of those terms. I'm gonna say that one's real too.
It is. Although I know how to surprise you next time.
Yes,
know,
you do.
I know these. Did you check my pronunciation of those big words?
No.
Blammo, bitch.
It's good though. Dude, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Now here, fool me again.
Watch. Yeah. Ready?
Yeah.
Harter's Iron Tonic purifies the blood, regulates the liver and kidneys. That's all I got on this one. Don't know what it's made of. Just know it's Harter's Iron Tonic, purifies the blood, regulates the liver and kidneys.
True.
Yes, it is.
Yay! No, I can stop saying they're all true because the probability has gone down.
Statistically, it was going to happen, right?
Harter's, you wouldn't lie to me on all of them.
Harter's Iron Tonic.
Harter's or Harter's?
Harter's.
Okay. Almost awesome.
Almost.
That's the name of my band. All right. Are you ready, Phil?
Go.
Okay. A 73-year-old Baptist minister underwent exploratory abdominal surgery in 2007, but due to anesthetic awareness stemming from a dosage error, he was paralyzed but aware and feeling every bit of the surgery's pain for over 15 minutes until the error was caught and rectified by the anesthesiologist team. He killed himself over the trauma not long after. Oops.
That's like a fucking nightmare. Oh my God.
Pretty terrifying.
It's so good. And he kills himself after?
I think it was like a week later.
That's like a dark Sean writing thing. I hope to God you made that up. I'm going to say it's fake.
It's true.
Oh, God,
it
no.
It really happened.
No.
It really happened. Oh. Anesthetic awareness when they don't.
Wow.
Apparently it was due to they did a great job with some local anesthetic or something.
Oh,
but
I
they
don't
mishandled
care.
The general anesthetic. And so he couldn't.
Say, oh shit, I'm awake, somebody help.
I'm laughing because of how terrible and awful it is, not because it's like, hee hee, it happened. But yeah, and then his family was like, yeah, he's the,
Yeah, I...
So make sure, if the anesthesia isn't right, you know...
Tell them.
Make sure to say something.
Or twitch.
Yeah.
Not whatever they're working on. Don't twitch that. Twitch
yeah,
something
no,
else.
Yeah, careful.
Careful about the twitching. Yeah. Holy shit. So that's halfway through. We are tied.
Halfway? I have one more after that.
Oh, I totally had way too many then. Right?
Yeah. So if you want to do two more.
All right. I'll do.
I'll try to win. No, it's actually good for
well,
you.
I mean,
it depends
well,
on what
because
do.
Since we, yeah.
So wait, is this your fourth or fifth?
This is going to be my fifth.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll do one more bonus one after that from you.
All right. Mr. Malpica's health tablets made from gentian root, ethanol, herbs, spices, general restorative, digestive health, even cures hiccups.
How is hiccups spelled?
Hiccoughs.
It's true.
fake.
You knew to do hiccups?
Yeah.
You bastard of bastard town.
Can I say something that...
That was the thing. I was going to try to be clever. Son of a shit. Let me tell you something, listeners, too. Phil, like, raised his eyebrows on, oh, spices, because he's fucking Olivier over here. You son of a bastard.
Can I say something?
Your dad's a nice person, but you're a son of a bastard.
Can I say something funny about that?
No.
That's the ingredients and supposed health benefits of Angostura bitters.
All right. Well, pour me another one, dickhead. All right. Okay. My last one. I'm so full of belief today.
This is fun.
All right. This one.
For the tie or the win.
Yeah, this is big. We've got a fatal fecal transplant, Phil.
Sorry, say that again?
In 2013.
Fatal fecal?
A 46-year-old woman in Waco, Texas, was undergoing one of a series of fecal bacteria transplants. Have you never heard of this? Real thing. Fecal bacteria transplants. When a series of mundane clerical errors and a surgeon's carelessness in checking microbiota, which is the actual fecal bacteria, levels going into the patient led to her be giving around 20 times the safe levels of Escherichia coli, resulting in infection, severe dysentery, and a coma later that week. A nearly fatal case. She recovered. A nearly fatal case of being too full of shit.
Oh, my God.
Escherichia coli.
Esterica?
No. E-S-C-H. Escherichia coli.
I want to say it's true, and you used it just so you could write being too full of shit. I'm going to go with true.
It's false.
Oh, you sneaky bastard! And it's a tie!
That's right!
We're both winners! Yeah! Look at that.
Can I just tell you, it's a real thing.
The fecal transplant?
Fecal transplant is real. There are certain conditions that are helped by it, like a 90% improval rate. They're not like, just like scrape the poopy and rub it in.
I didn't think that.
Nobody isolate that, please. But it's, they isolate.
Thanks for giving us the stinger, Sean. Scrape the poopy.
But the whatever you want to call it, the actual bacteria is transplanted in. I think sometimes it's even like in these little capsules.
How much you want to bet that 90% of the people that get that just want to get it for some reason and you probably don't need it?
Well, I don't. Having it never happened to me, because I guarantee you if it ever does, I'm not one of those people who's like, I just kind of want this.
Excuse me, can I have some of your poop?
No, but check it out. It's, wow. Yeah.
And you know what we'll do? I'll ask the other ones, but we'll put them up on Sunday night as a bonus on our Facebook page.
Okay, so this is just,
let's do it that way.
Now,
yeah.
Just a bit of Stump Sean.
Well, I mean,
I'm just trying.
Yeah,
right?
I got extra ones.
Yeah,
left.
Let's do it.
We'll do that. So the Sunday.
So we tied.
Yes.
I did not lose.
No, you did not.
And on a whip around game, that's a victory for me. So congratulations, us, but extra happy for myself for not losing. So that has been a great deal of fun. It's been a fun show so far. It's been moving along at a steady clip.
We assume.
I think.
After some edits.
But, you know, time flies when you're discussing terrible medical mishaps.
Time flies when you're under anesthesia.
Yeah. Time flies when you're getting a fecal transplant. Flies probably get in there too. Here's what we're going to do. Take a break and come back for three for the road. So don't go far. It's going to be a
short
one. It's going to be a scene, man. Stay healthy.
Don't fall for it.
Little Debbie. Well, at the Whip Around, we have little hot takes that you can find on all of our social media. Just little hot takes of our views on certain things that are coming up on the show, things on the previous show. It's just really a great way for you to see what we're up to, get some a little more depth into that week's episode. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can also email us, the Whip Around all around, and you can get our little hot takes.
Put Put down that snake oil and perk up those ears. If the surgeon didn't accidentally take him, switch him, or otherwise get him off of your head. It is now Act 3, and what's left? Well, it's that most famous of segments, 3 for the Road, that time of the show where we get to talk about those things that didn't fit in with the theme of the show, or that we just didn't have time to talk about, which really wasn't an issue for this show. And so there are going to be some A-themed things that you're about to hear. We each get 3 rounds of 30 seconds to give you the news that we're just itching to get out of our face and into your ears. And after that 30 seconds is up each time, you're going to hear something a little bit like this, which is Desi the Decibel saying that your time is up. It's time to pass the torch to the next person. And then once we go like that around 3 times, that is it. That is the show. Phil has decided that he is going to be going first this time. And since it's just the two of us, it is going to be a rapid bing, bang, boom, and we're done. So, Phil, are you ready?
Always.
Phil, are you set?
What?
Phil, you go!
I just want to start off this 3 for the Road by saying good luck to everybody, students, parents, and teachers alike. We know it's back to school time. By the time you listen to this, you're either back to school or just about to go back. And everybody's starting a new journey. Everybody's nervous. I just want to remind everybody, hey, take a deep breath. Hey. We all want the same thing, which is the best for our students, whether that's a parent, whether that's a teacher. Doesn't matter what. We want the best thing. We want the best for our students in the classroom. Parents, please listen to your teachers if they tell you something's off with the kid. And also, teachers, listen to your students. Also, listen to your students. Don't forget that.
Don't touch the ectoplasm news alert. A UK woman reports that her house is haunted by a ghost of a fucking creep. The woman explained that her husband went to investigate a knock at the bedroom door, only to step in a strange wet puddle just inside the hallway. The kiddo and the dog were both asleep in room and living room, respectively, and so, of course, this woman went online to tell everyone her prognosis, quote, I say spunking ghost. Leaky ceiling? Pee accident? Nah, clearly spectral yuck yuck!
It's the easiest solution. I don't know why. Yeah,
that's what I call semen.
25% of the people can force a change in group behavior. That's right. A minority of a group of people, if committed enough, can force a change in the larger population. This gives us hope, people. I know this sounds shitty, but if you're out there saying everything sucks, there's nothing we can do, yes, we can. Whip around, citizens, please help each other, stick together, and yes, we can actually affect change if a minority of us believe in it and work together. Damn it.
This is why we can't have nice things news. British artist Anish Kapoor is famous for pieces challenging our views of time and space, like his Descent into Limbo piece, which is a deep, dark circle on the floor that might or might not be a hole. Get it? Space and time being challenged, perceptions being pushed. Well, a middle-aged asshole ignored the security rope and fell right into the 8-foot hole because nothing interesting can last and people are fucking idiots. It's not enough to have art. You have to interact with it. It's not enough to have a mystery. You have to solve it. It's not enough to have a hole in the floor. Some fucking jerk-off has to fall inside and ruin it for the rest of us.
I guess they know if it's a hole or not now.
You shut up.
Good news for fans of porn! Scientists have always debated whether or not porn addiction is a real thing, and guess what? The answer is clear. No! A meta-analysis of research on porn has concluded that regular porn use does not predict self-destructive porn habits, but your religiosity does. This one comes from me. To extend this research, a fucking duh. Turns out the more religious you are, the more guilty you feel about that oh-so-human instinct to sneak a peek under the sheets, and as a result, you externalize the problem and say you're better than this, but you're addicted, and you put the problem on the industry and not yourself. Guess what? It's your fault. Stop feeling guilty. You're a jerk. And keep jerking it.
On that note, this one's for Phil. During a recent taping of InfoWars, Alex Jones opted to show his viewers something on his phone, but to do what he wanted, he needed to open a new window. And just for a moment, his open tabs were visible to all, including one tab open to pornography. In fact, eagle-eyed internet sleuths were able to follow up on visual cues in the website title to track his video of choice, and it was, quote, naughty T-babe mistress. T-babe being a well-known bit of porn slang, meaning it was a vid about a trans woman, specifically Marissa Minx, the self-proclaimed number one trans companion XXX adult model of Australia, so the infamously transphobic host and all-around douche loves himself some trans porn, y'all.
Can I respond?
Please.
Woo!
A little Ric Flair woo is probably a fantastic answer.
You know, don't we always say, and it's externalizing it when it's your...
Every time.
Every time.
Every time. And, you know... there is nothing funny about the trans community.
Oh, my God, no. It's not funny that he likes... Listen, if you like that kind of thing, you watch it. Hell yeah.
That this monstrous piece of garbage...
is hypocritical.
Of course he actually sexually fantasizes about the thing that he would decide to somehow try to demonize on air because he feels bad about blah, blah, blah. This has nothing to do with trans people and how he is a piece of human fecal bacteria transplanted up his own ass.
I don't want that. Listen, I'll take any fecal transplant before I take some of his.
Yeah, fucking A. Ring the bell on that, Phil.
And on that note...
Yeah, what a time. And that's a fantastic to come all the way back around. That is a wonderful way to segue our asses on out of here before someone puts something in them that we don't want donated, if you know what I mean.
Poopy. And I think you do.
Poopy, 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 poopy. We love you.
Poopy?
Bye.
The tiniest... host number we ever did.
Okay, well then I'll do it.
Bye.
Scrape the poopy and rub it in.
I didn't think that's...
Nobody isolate that, please.